on the other side of death. And here's the most satisfying part of it, is that that life eternal you already have right now. Did you hear me? You already have it. You're in possession of it right now. And nobody can take it away from you, because what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It's yours. Can't die. Now that makes me, well, you see, I am a shouter. That makes me happy enough to shout. I would like to make everybody like the Apostle Paul. I'd like everybody to be able to see that. I'd like to give that to everybody, wouldn't you? That shows you it's not natural right there, you see. You'll share that with anyone, any place you go. You'd like to do that, wouldn't you? You really would like to do that. But you're not anxious to share your bank account, because, you see, that's the other side of the spectrum. But on the spiritual side, that's supernatural. It's not natural. And God causes supernatural things to take place in us. Yeah, God really does that. He does it for His people. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That's what I'm just talking about. I'm not worried about whether the Lord gives you more grace than He gives me. I'm tickled to death that I get some. I'm not worried about whether the preachers you have up here get up here and just preach circles around me. I really don't care about that. I'm just tickled to death that I have a place and I get some of that double portion that the minister gets in preaching the gospel. And brothers and sisters and friends, I'm just happy to be a part of the kingdom of God. Oh, if we just keep that far above everything else, then I'm going to tell you, this world would be a better place for us to live in. Oh, how much stronger our family units would be. You strengthen the family unit and you'll strengthen a nation, my friend. That's what we ought to be doing. And as the children of the Lord, setting the examples to our neighbors everywhere we go, walk an old Baptist sermon every day. Do it. It'll revolt. You'll be surprised. You know, I've been preaching on radio back in our part of the country. I preached a 600 and some edition of it the other day. 611th edition, I believe it was, of Primitive Baptist Time. I get more comments, listen to this, I get far more comments upon the program from people who don't belong to the Primitive Baptist than I do from the Primitive Baptist. You understand what I mean? Now, as a physician practicing, you know, I just hardly ever get anybody that comes in goes to a tavern. They don't even know how to talk around me, so they just don't come in, you see. Yet I'm as busy as I can be all the time. If you wanted to get in my office and I go back to Missouri, it'd take you 3 weeks, unless you get on a calling list to get in to see me. Now, what I'm saying is this, is that I try to practice what I preach, and I found that, you've heard the old saying, like birds of a feather flock together, almost everyone that ever comes into my office are good Christian people. And they're the most understanding people in the world. And when I go off like this, then when I get back, they'll ask me where I've been, how many times I preached, and all that sort of thing. Now, they don't follow me around and go to the church, but they're interested, and they don't hold it against me. You know that I'll go back home, and I think I'm going to go back home and work 5 days. 5 days, and I'm going off again for another week. Now, the Lord has to be in there. What I'm saying, my friends, is if you go about the Lord's business, and I'm certainly not an example, but, you know, if the Lord just didn't do it, I don't know whether I'd do it or not. But if we go about the Lord's business, the Lord will just make things happen all around you, and you just won't. The only reason you can say is, well, the Lord's just working a miracle all the time, and certainly He is, don't you see? I don't understand how in the world yet that I ever make a living doing what I do sometimes. Why don't you know, if I was going to a doctor that's gone as much as I am, and every time you went there for and all you got was an answering service, I think I'd just quit calling. But they just keep a calling, just keep it coming in. They really do. So we ought to be about doing the best we can and doing the Lord's business as best we can. Isn't that wonderful that God would call you and sanctify you to be about the vocation of the saints of God? Say, we ought to get so excited and try to find out everything we can so we could tell everybody else. That's what we ought to be doing, is really studying, find out what we ought to be doing, sitting down and comparing notes and then going out and doing the business. And I'm going to tell you what, you want to see a change in your life, want to see a change in your community, want to see everything work better, you try it. It'll work. I guarantee it. In the name of God, it'll work. And if you don't, then you just look the other side of things. You work and work and work. You ever go two steps forward and one back? That's the way it goes. But you see, with God, if you go two steps forward and one back, you say, thank you, Father. At least I got one step. If you do it in the flesh, you'll complain about it. So God will make you happy whether you're rich or whether you're pauper. Because to be in the presence of the Lord is to be in a state of thanksgiving, don't you see? Now, I looked at my watch to be sure to know when to quit. I forgot when I started. Anybody here got the nerve to tell me when I started? Can you tell me when I started? I really did. I do that every once in a while. Well, anyway, the Apostle Paul here, very unselfishly, he says that he gives thanks on behalf of the grace that God has given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. You know, now when I go back home and I pick up any of the papers of the Baptist, first thing you know, I don't know what you all do. I don't search through there and see what articles is written. Now, I don't mean I don't appreciate and don't read the articles, but when I pick up our little paper when it comes, you know the first thing I do, I look through there and see what's going on in the family of God. I want to know what's going on with the church, and I go through there, and you know, and I'll see this elder and that elder that I know, and I see where he's been there, and they've had some good meetings, and I just wished I could have been there with them, you know. I like to hear about the family of God, and that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, I want to know the news, and when I hear that you've been having good meetings, and you've been having a little in-gathering, and Elder so-and-so came, and he just tore the rag off the bush, as the preacher said I did one time, whatever that is. But you know, I knew what he meant. Whenever something like that takes place, then it does my heart good. I understand that, don't you see? On the other hand, now, if you was a physician in my town in the same practice and you was practicing circles around me, I wouldn't like it at all. I'd tell you, I'd probably lose sleep about it. I'd get all upset about it. You know what I mean? If it's two old Baptists in town and both of you run a grocery store, you're not going to wish that everybody else goes down there. You're not going to be happy that he had $1,000 better day than you did. You're not going to do that. But my friends, then why should we suffer? And why should we seek those things if you just can't find happiness? Wouldn't make any difference if you'd made a big profit that day. If you found out the guy up the street made a bigger profit than you did, you wouldn't be happy about it. You'd still want to have more. But in the kingdom of God, when you hear where somebody's had a good meeting and there's been an in-gathering and somebody preached good, you can do like the Apostle Paul here, and you just rejoice and be lifted up about that. And if you can't, then brother, you've got heart trouble and you ought to be talking to the Lord about it. Don't you see? That in everything, it says that you are rich in him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Well, you know, that none of us in here have all utterance. Any of you preachers ever get up to preach, do you have all utterance? You stammering around like I do sometimes, just stammer around, and it seems like your tongue's hung up behind some tooth or something all the time, and you start to say one thing, and it don't come out right, and a word you've said 1,000 times, you say it, and it don't sound right. You know what I'm saying is that we have to be reminded all along the way that if we're not an instrument of God, then we aren't worth anything anyway, you see. Now, on the other hand, if I see a man, he gets up to preach, and when we're out here talking about the gospel, it doesn't seem like he has much to say. And when he says it, he doesn't make anything very plain. And then he gets up to preach, and I just see it go to roll out of him, and he starts using words that normally he wouldn't use when he's sitting down talking to you. And it seems as though that his whole personality has changed, that it just begins to just pour out of him. And I see the Lord using him, and I thank God for that, because I know that the Lord is using him for an instrument for my good, not for his good, don't you see? And I love, and I'll tell you what will make me want to preach is good preaching. It does two things to me. It makes me I swear up and down I'm just going to give it up when I hear somebody preach so much better than I do. I'm going to give it up. Go home and study just as hard as I can study, don't you see? Come back and do the best I can. It makes me want to quit and try harder the next time, all at the same time. You see, now that's what it'll do for you. That's a good healthy condition to be in, I'm sure. The Apostle Paul, he knew about that. You sure as the world, that's what he's saying. He says, I like to see that you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. That's where it comes from. The ability to be able to comprehend, to be able to articulate, to be able to present it in such a way that the saints of God can sit there and listen to it, don't you see? And I mean, to say all the words that the preacher may say sometimes, if it's not attended by the Spirit of God, and you know, it could be just as dry as could be. There wouldn't be anything there. It's God that gives increase, don't you see? You know, I grew up under Elder Leon Clevenger, and Elder Leon wouldn't let me say this. If he was here, he'd just call me right down, right now, for saying what I'm about to say. But I had the opportunity to grow up under one of the most powerful preachers that ever walked in the United States, I think. He was able to say more in less time than any man I ever knew. You know, he's not like me. He never just went around in circles, you know. He could make a point, and in 40 minutes, he could say more than most men could preach in an hour and a half, and that's really true. But you know what he told me one time? He says, Kenneth, he says, a full drum or a full barrel don't make near as much noise as an empty barrel. The man was a studier. He studied to the cause of Christ. And when he studied and he got up to say something, he had something to say. When I went to college, if I knew the answer to the question, I very deliberately and to the point could answer the question. If I didn't know it, it took a whole sheet of paper for me to write down what I didn't know and make a fool out of myself, trying to convince that doctor that you knew very well that he knew that I didn't know anyway. You see, fact of the matter is, if I knew it, it wasn't near as hard for me to take the exam. It didn't take near as much paper and effort either, don't you see? You all forgive me for my scattered ways. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, it says, so that ye come behind in no gift. And brother, that's true in the church of the Lord. But if we have anything, it's a gift. Did you get that word? Didn't say you earned it. We get everything we have in the church as a gift, you see. This isn't our church. You say, well, this is our church here. I'd like to come up here. I'd like to show you around the church and let you see all this good things we've done around here. That's all right to use that language if you recognize it's not your church. It's the Lord's church. And brother, if it's the Lord's church, then what right have you got to change anything in it, don't you see? What right have you got to do anything to change anything about it? We don't have any rights at all to do that. But in the church of God, we have a lot of rights, don't you see? As long as we're going about the Father's business, doing what we ought to do. And then we can be happy about it. You know, we just had a young preacher back in our part of the country give up the old Baptist. You know what he said? He says, I'm going to have to give them up because they need a new Bible and they don't even know about it. I don't know why we need to change the Word of God. Man that wants to change the Word of God or want to change the Church of God. He want to change the doctrines, the principles, the practice, and everything else, don't you see? We need to be careful and realize, my friends, that we have the most esteemed privilege in this world that any people ever had, and that is to walk together, to live together in the kingdom of God here on earth. Oh, I wish that would be echoed and be first in our lives. Everywhere we go, that we would dedicate our lives, whoever we are, to one great purpose, is to see what we should do in the kingdom of God, and then do it, and pray God that he give us the wisdom to do it and know how. The Apostle Paul had great influence in the church of God, but I'll tell you what he didn't do. He never went around any time that I ever knew, ever trying to lord it over the Lord's people. And he says, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God. These things, he did this. Don't you see, when he talked to them. We don't become behind, as he says, in no gift, but we have all the gifts that we want. Maybe, oh, let me take that back. I don't suppose we ever have what we want. You know, I heard preachers preach, and I'd say, well, Lord, I think it'd be nice if I could preach like that. Then before it got out of my mouth, I was sorry that I ever had the thought. Did you know, my preaching friends, there's not a man in the United States that can preach like you can. Not a one that can preach like you can. And as a preacher said at our house, or at our church one time, says, thank the Lord for that. I'm thankful, and we should be, that we have the opportunity and the privilege to present that gift in the church of God. And I tell you what, there isn't any other thing that you do, my preaching friend, that you'd rather do than preach the gospel. Is that right? Well, come on, somebody. I'd rather do it neat. I'll give up eating to preach the gospel. I'll give up sleep to preach the gospel. I'll leave home, and if I have to, I'll leave my wife to go preach the gospel. I'll leave my work to go preach the gospel. I'll do all those things to go preach the gospel, and because I love to preach the gospel. Now, my friends, who aren't preachers, that's the way you ought to be, because you've got a gift, and if you find out what it is and you start using it, that's the way you'll feel. Now, really, that's true. You know, there's a sister in one of the churches that I, well, several sisters and brothers in the churches I serve. You, ministering brethren, when you study, do you see somebody's face, and when you're preaching the gospel and you see them shaking their head out there and you're getting that feedback from the congregation, that's what makes me preach, is when you all are giving me feedback. When I see that you're enjoying it and you're understanding what I say, you just set me on fire. I'll tell you right now, I'll preach all night long if you just keep doing that. I would. I could do it. I need that feedback. How are you going to feed back if you aren't out there to receive? You people can set your pastor on fire. You can make him preach harder. You just look at him and you just smile. You just shake that head. You encourage him. I'll tell you right now, you'll see that little boy sitting out there. He'll really turn it on for you. He'll burn the midnight oil trying to find something else just to get that little knot out of you. Pray for him. Pray for yourselves. Oh, we've got something that's beyond comprehension, and we aren't even scratching the surface of it. Oh, we're cheating ourselves so much. Oh, how much we could receive that we're not receiving. The sad part about all this is right now you're all ready to go to work, but how are you going to feel about it in the morning, about the time you get up and say, oh no, another day. Oh, I don't believe I can get out and go to work. Get up in the morning, look out the window, see the beauties of it. Say, Lord, another beautiful day in a wonderful country of peace. Privilege and opportunity to church. One more day closer to meeting time. Lord, help me get through this day and one more day closer to home. Start out the day that way. Sing an old Baptist song instead of, how much is that doggy in the window? Start out that way. Prepare the mind at the beginning of the day. See what it does for you. Keep these things before you all the time. Work at your religion. It'll rub off. You got children around, grandchildren around, you just start doing it. First thing you know, they'll be doing it, don't you see? One of the churches I served, a little girl in it, she just, Jenny's about five now, maybe 4 or 5 years old. They was up cleaning up the church the other day. She says, I'll get up at front and I'll start singing a song that said, you all come in late. And then I'll do like Elder Clevenger does and come back to shake your hand. Huh. Isn't that some impression to make? You bet you see, she was impressed. No, don't come in late. Come in early and start the song service a little bit early. Try to get a little bit more into the day. Don't look at your watch and say, well, preacher, it's getting up there about 2:45. It's about time you cut it off. The kids is coming home after a while. Kids ought to be here, you see. And you ought to try to get the preacher to preach to 3:30 or 4 o'clock. And then when you get through, you ought to see if you can get together somewhere and talk about the things that you preached about all day long and do those things and work at it a little bit. Instead of, people just can't hardly wait to get away from the church. 10 minutes, it's a barren place. Now, I know that, again, maybe you don't do that back here, but we do in Missouri. I went to a church last Sunday. You know, after church was out, you know, the first one left was the pastor. Had his car backed in when I got there. So he could make a quick getaway. I knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to go home and watch a ball game. He was fussing all day long about being down in the dumps because there wasn't anything exciting going on around his church. And it didn't seem like anybody could get excited or want to join the church, and there wasn't any young people there. So I had a lot of respect for him, but I didn't have enough, or I'd have told him what part of the problem was, wouldn't I? You folks probably never let me come back after all of this. If the Lord's in the matter, you will, though, won't you? He says, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know the Lord made us blameless in Jesus Christ, but you know the Lord also keeps us blameless in Jesus Christ. You know, once you're in grace, you're always in grace. You can fall from grace, but you can't fall out of it. You don't think you can fall from grace? On the way home tonight, you stop at Joe's Bar. I'll bet you you fall from grace, and I ain't supposed to bet, but I wouldn't pass up a sure thing like that. Yes, my friends, you can fall from it, but you can't fall out of it. God has made us blameless in Jesus Christ. When you come into the presence of God, so I want you to understand and know this. When you come into the presence of God, you come into the presence of God blameless. Many, many people in this world, and Satan has them under bondage, looking to that great and terrible day of the Lord. They're just hating the day that God comes because they think they've got to stand before God and be judged in their works. Well, more people believe that than what you believe. How come? How many of your neighbors know what you believe? A lot of my neighbors know what I believe. I preach 611 programs trying to tell them what I believe. And that does the job. No, it don't, because they keep coming in and they say, Doctor, I listen to you every Sunday morning on the way to church, and you believe just like I do. And I say, what in the world haven't I done? Well, it's not what I haven't done. I have proved a point, brethren. I can't make anybody see it or understand it. But you know, there may be some out there that have an ear prepared to hear. Maybe I've never met them. But at least don't you think they ought to know we're around? I went by a church today. I'm not going to say where it was because there might be somebody here. But I went by a church today and it didn't even have the name on the church. Didn't even have a sign pointing to it. Don't you think we ought to have at least have a Primitive Baptist church across it, even if you're ashamed that what the name of it is or who the pastor is. At least we ought to know it's a Primitive Baptist church, don't you think? Brethren, we need to let our friends and neighbors know. And they say, well, what religion are you? I said, well, I'm Primitive Baptist. Primitive Baptist, huh? Yep. What's that mean? Well, that means that we're old and first. Now, that doesn't mean that we all wear skins to church. You know, like cavemen. Now, that's not as far-fetched as you think. My son-in-law, who had never heard of the Primitive Baptist until he met my daughter, he said, I visualized it the first time that I went out there that I'd see a lot of people that were either dressed in long flowing skirts the men in black clothes and beards or maybe they'd be in skins like cavemen or something like that. Now, you understand, when we say primitive, we ought to be able to tell them what primitive means. That means that if somebody else has got first already, people have called us old Baptists, and that's all right. But primitive means that we were before anybody else, is what that means. That just means that we was before anybody else. Well, what difference are you from us? Well, maybe quite a little bit. I don't know all about your church, but let me tell you about mine, because they opened the door. And brethren, that's what we ought to do. When they open the door and invite you in, just step right on in quite boldly and begin to tell them about the things of God. And you just start in, and I'll tell you what experience you'll have. The first thing you know, if you've done any study and you've been going to church, the Lord will start opening your mind, and there you'll be saying things. You'll say, well, did that come out of me? Did that really come out of me? Yes, it did, because the Lord will open your understanding. He'll give your tongue utterance. He'll open your mind, and it'll begin to flow from you. And the first thing you know, who can tell? Maybe you'll save a brother. Now, look at that. Now, that's Arminian talk, isn't it? Not at all. If you deliver a brother from the ignorance of the world, if you deliver him into the kingdom of truth, if you do that, I know that you can't do it without God. I just explained that to you. You know I don't believe you need to go out on a mission trying to save everybody. But when they open the door, my friends, they'll stick your foot right on in. They invited you. They're not trying to make fun of you. They really want to know what you believe. Most of them don't know what they believe. They really don't know what they believe. I walked into a candy store down in Lake Ozarks. Now, I'm sure by looking at me, you couldn't think that I'd ever walk in a candy store without walking out with a sackful, that is. And I did. But I went in there, and in my leisure clothes, with a brother from one of the churches that I now serve. And I wasn't even in on the conversation. But the lady that was behind the candy counter, she started talking to Brother Everett about church. And directly she looked over to me and she says, well, he's a preacher, isn't he? Well, I didn't know that I wore a neon sign that said I was a preacher. But something about it made her know. And this is what she said. She says, what religion are you? Why, we said we're Primitive Baptist. And she says, I'm a Baptist too. She hung right on that Baptist, don't you see? She says, what do you believe? We believe in salvation by grace. And she says, I do too. But I think you have to do something to get saved. That was the other part of it. But I think you have to do something to get saved. Why would she say that? Because, my friends, they've always tied grace to works. If you want to get grace, you've got to do something to get it, don't you see? Well, I says, I agree with you, except, and I think grace comes by works, but it wasn't my works, it was the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what could she say? Her works, she wasn't going to stand there behind that candy counter and say that her works was greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you see? She wasn't prepared. I don't think it left her bewildered, but she was somewhat puzzled as to what to say. I'm sure she probably went and asked her pastor about it, and I've never seen her since, don't you see? I talked to a sister one time some kin folks, belongs to another denomination, and she knows that I'm a preacher, believe in salvation by grace, predestination. And she's come into my office, and just as bold as she could be one day, and she says, "Kenneth, we believe in predestination too. We believe that the Lord predestinated every one of those that was going to receive him as their personal Savior to be saved." I said, "I almost believe like that. I believe that he saved every one of those that he received as their personal Savior." Now, there wasn't much difference there, but it's the far left and the far right. You see, we can make a play on their words. I think that we ought to do that, and I think we owe it not only to our neighbors and our friends, to our family, and not make our children think that everybody else is just a little bit better prepared. They're not, my friends. Here they've had Sunday schools for over 100 years. And there's this people, there never was a people who knew less about the Bible than they do now. Now, what does that show? It shows that man's organizations, man's institutions will...